You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How's it going, people? Welcome back to the channel. Welcome back to the Forever Arsenal podcast. I hope everyone out there had a very happy New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and are blessed for the upcoming year 2023. It is the 1st of January, so we thought we'll give you a live episode of the Forever Arsenal podcast. You're always asking us to go live, and we do lives here and there, but we said let's start the year off in the right way. Let's start off with a bang. Arsenal did their job. So we're doing our job tonight. Make sure you hit the like button first and foremost, people. Show the video some love and make sure you engage with us in the chat. I can see the chat, best in the world. So it's live. It is live. I can see the chat right there. So yeah, big up everyone that's tuning in live. Hit the like button, engage with us. I'll have segments like I do on the Big Six where I go through some of the comments and the questions in the chat. And yeah, whatever you pose, I'll put to the panel, whether it's me, Lee, Jordan or James. Make sure you're engaging in a respectful way, people. And yeah, Arsenal got the job done. But first and foremost, Lee, you good, yeah? Because I know you was ill over the last few days and you nearly didn't make this one.
I've been terrible. I've been a bit like you, Turkish, been in bed, like, you know what I mean? So I haven't been able to get out of bed for the last few days, you know? So
you're not that ill then, throwing shade.
Well, I'd say, do you know what? Like, yesterday, I was so, you know, when I... Arsenal went 1-0 up. I couldn't even cheer because I was that ill, like laying there, like, do you know what I mean? So I've been really, really rough. So that showed you how bad it was. But I've picked up a little bit over the last few days, I've got to say. So so I'm a little bit better. But I'm worried about Tuesday. Like, if it was Tuesday now, I wouldn't be able to go. So fingers crossed, I'll pick up in the next couple of days. Like, you know, so.
Bless your heart, you must have been really ill to have not celebrated just because of how quick the start was. And, you know, we came flying out the blocks. You know, City had just dropped points, as had Newcastle. I saw the Arsenal players in a huddle. I know what they'll be saying to each other. Fast start, be concentrated. You know, there's an opportunity here, but don't get caught up in it, blah, blah. 66 seconds later, Arsenal 1-0 up. I mean, it was like, I think we all just lost it a little bit because it was just like the relief was there immediately.
Incredible weekend, James. Saturday was just incredible. Like, I was sort of like laying there listening to the radio, because I couldn't be bothered to go downstairs. And you know, then you were obviously thinking, like, with 20 minutes to go in Manchester City, you're going to score. You just thought it, like, and I don't know how you're feeling, but I feel like this is going to last two. I know I'm a bit of a doom and gloom merchant, but I'm thinking, like, you wait. They're both teams, like Newcastle and Man City, are going to score in the last minute and we're going to lose at Brighton, you know what I mean? Make my bloody day, that will, like, you know. But it didn't turn out like that. It turned out for me a very, very good day, and I managed to... My skyline, you can see London from where I am, like, you know, so I sat there at 12 o'clock watching the old fireworks and on my own, you know what I mean? So I don't want you all lot feeling sorry for me, though, you know what I mean? So, but listen, it's been a great weekend, guys. It's been a great weekend as far as football's concerned.
Can we start just before the weekend? Because it was a great few days leading up to the weekend too. Obviously, I was on trial, no?
No.
Yeah, let's get to that, actually.
I was on trial.
I don't really. I think that's what made me ill. I think that's what turned me. It really did, like, you know, disgusting. That's your oil. As it happens, I'm going to make a confession now. I've been right as rain, but I heard he was on the watch along, so I pulled a ciggy. I'm disgusted. With him, like, you know?
All right. So if you're a regular watcher of the show, you would have seen the last episode, people, and it was recorded slightly late, 20 or so minutes late, due to me waking up a bit late. You know, putting my alarm on snooze. Jordan's shaking his head. I don't know.
20 or so minutes.
20 or so minutes. Saying an hour?
Yeah, I think it was nearer to an hour, yeah.
I don't know about
40,
that.
40, it was 40.
There have been ones that he hasn't turned up to. Yeah, there have been other shows that he hasn't turned up to, which wasn't put in the evidence, by the way. You know what I mean? I remember one when we was doing it at 8 o'clock. At half past nine, we all give up. And we had to come back at 12 o'clock at night and do it like. But oh, that was taken from the evidence of old Shiroy. Shiroy, I'll tell you what, when I get Kilroy, I'm going to call him.
Turkish, so, are you going to read out what Shiroy actually
I am going to read that because Shiroy is the judge and he's not a fraudulent judge just because of his surname. He is an actual judge, you know. So let me read that. Let me read out the verdict from Judge Shiroy. He said, upon consideration of the case for the prosecution and the defendant, I order as follows. Let me just save these super chats for a bit later. There we go. One, it is no secret that Mr. Turkish LDN is a repeat offender. Even by his own admission, I too have sadly been on the receiving end of his offences. Two, however, it must be said that the law at the time of the offences did not involve any points deductions, and as such, he cannot be said to have appreciated the consequences of his actions at all material times. Three, given the gravity and the frequency of the offences, it is clear that there is a, see this word here, this is why he's a judge, a lacuna in the law as it stands. And as such, I am as of today altering the law. Verdict, for his historic offences, Mr. Turkish LDN must publicly apologise to all his victims. Going forward, all panellists will agree to a points deduction for tardiness to be determined in light of the gravity of the offence. The forfeit shall be 1 point for each 20-minute period that they are late, to be capped at 3 points. If their tardiness exceeds 60 minutes from the agreed start time, they shall not only be deducted 3 points, bracket one for each 20-minute period, but also forego their turn at entering a prediction for that particular week. There is no right of appeal pertaining to this decision by order of Judge Shiroy.
Shocking. Shocking.
I will say that is, I mean, that's
a bus case. A bus case. Bus case. Bring out the champagne. Bring out the champagne.
Free Turkish.
I mean, that is a, that is an amazing comment from Shiroy. I have to say, fair play to him. He stepped up well and truly there. I know the two on the right are a bit sour about it, and fair enough, but you know, it's okay.
Hold on a minute. Let's get this right. You know what I mean? Like, we've never been late, right? Never been late, right? But now if we're late, we get fined. He's done it 15 times. 15 times he's done it. And do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
What's happened?
Ooh. What's happened?
Ooh. Is
that... Yeah, what's going on? Are you pulling a sickie now, Lee? Are you going to pull a sickie now, man?
Judge Judy's come on. Look, Judge Judy. You can show your face. I think you should be ashamed of yourself.
Incredible. Incredible.
Shiroy, man.
Oh, look. Look, Shiroy's just popped up in Turkish's bedroom. That's a coincidence.
I feel like I need to explain myself here. If, just as an example, right? If you're driving down a 30-mile-an-hour road, and you've done that 10 times at 30 miles an hour, and they suddenly change the speed limit to 20 miles an hour, they're not going to retrospectively punish you for all the times you did 30, right? That's the point. That's the point that I was trying to make there.
I'm more than happy with it. I'd like you to remember that I backed you in case I ever, you know, cause any offence.
And trial.
See.
Exactly.
See, this is disproportionately against myself and Lee, because we're the early risers, so we're never going to be late. So this is unfair on the two people that are never. This is never going to impact us.
Well, that's great, isn't it? I mean, Lee was last week saying it wasn't about the points. So the reality is now the deterrent effect should kick.
Listen, forget Lee.
Hopefully Turkish wakes up. And let's not forget the one that Lee's talking about, where Turkish just didn't show up. That was meant to be my first forever Arsenal.
Oh yeah, it was.
I didn't get sent the link. I didn't have any of your numbers. I had to DM Lee on Instagram to see if Turkish was alive.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. It won't happen again.
That's the first public apology. You've got a few more.
Let me apologize to all the victims as well. Everyone out there that supports the Forever Arsenal podcast, I apologize for the lateness. It still went out on time, but I want to apologize to you guys and girls out there that love the show. I want to apologize to Sheroy. I want to apologize to James. And that's all my apologies done, I think.
Wow.
Oh, Jordan and Lee. Sorry, Jordan and Lee as well. Jordan and Lee, the prosecution. I'll apologize for wasting their time too.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Cool. I can't listen.
We know the judge has spoken.
We know it's going to happen again. You know what I mean? So
It's true.
We know it's going to happen again. Like, you know, so
they'll try to catch you out. Though,
Roy is on that night. You know what I mean? I hope she gets his hammer out and passes his sentence, puts the old cap on his head and passes his sentence.
So, Sheree, can I just ask you if I'm 19 minutes late, I escape punishment, right?
Oh, so you thought the first 20 minutes was a grace period?
Yeah, no. your wording seems a bit...
The minute you get to the first minute, you've entered that first 20 minute period. You cannot be a minute late for these shows.
Yeah. Come on!
Jordan, that doesn't mean just opening your video without a camera on about 5 minutes early. You need to have your camera on ready to go, yeah? Because you do that quite often.
I'll be good from now on. I need some points. I need to pick up some points.
Yes. They'll try to catch you out though, Turkish. You know, Jordan's next message will be, "Sorry, lads, I can only do 5 a.m. Just is what it is. It's five or nothing.
No. I play fair.
This is what I get for trying to...
We play by the rules, me and Jordan. Like, you know,
we do.
We're not rule breakers.
Who was last on today?
Lee Judges.
Oh shit! Yeah, it was him, innit?
Was I?
But he was on time.
Thank you, John.
He wasn't. He wasn't 6:55. The request was 6:55. He came 58.
Oh yeah, true.
If we're going by the new rules,
I had the sweats. I weren't feeling that well. You're so fucking out of bowler, really. You know what I mean? Just got off me. I've got off me sick bed, not me lazy bed. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's differences.
Ah, cool. As you can see, people, the Forever Arsenal podcast, the usual four of us, it's going to be five of us today because Sheroy has joined the panel as well. For the whole show, hopefully Sheroy can stay for the whole show. I didn't confirm with him whether he can. He's nodding, so he can stay for the whole show. Have we got any? I think there was a super chat here on the subject. Devin says, Lee trying to complain about a rule that he wanted to implement in the first place. Love it. Indeed. But yeah, we moved. There is some more super chats there. Actually, here we go. Panel of legends. Greetings from the Fort Lauderdale Gooners. Hope you're well, Craig. Hope everyone's well out there. Family, enjoy the new year. All of that. Love for the love. You know what it is. Where are we? Orange says, love from Cleveland, Ohio. Best Arsenal team I've ever seen. Turkish, if we win the league, will you finally buy an Arsenal kit? If so, who's on the back? Big up. Well, it might be happening sooner than you think. If we move proactively in the transfer window, being top of the league, I think that's enough for me to, you know, open my wallet again. Or maybe Lee will open his wallet at the end of the season when I win the prediction league. We'll see.
Ooh. Oh my God, I still owe him 20 quid. Oh, sorry.
I'm still not paid it.
This is awkward now.
He's supposed to pay this bet 3 weeks ago now. Is there an extra £5 to be put on there because, like, you know, lateness on this?
No,
I think you should claim interest personally.
Thank you, Sheroy.
I'll send you £20.50.
I've got to start from now on. You're called Knocker, right? James Knocker. There you go. That's your new nickname, Knocker. Every time I see you, all right, Knocker.
It seems that we've got a doctor in the chat as well that's trying to help Lee out. Lee goes Tottenham and spends 400 quid. It would make anyone ill. That's probably what it was, Lee.
Do you know what? That's a great point. I haven't been feeling that well since I've been down there. Like, you know, but what I've done, I can tell you that since I've been down there, I ain't won a game. I'll put the old curse on them, like, you know what I mean? I went and weed in all four corners of that shop. No one knows that. You know what I mean? Like,
you backed a hell of a lot of water. Big up KD, a big supporter of the channel. Linked us up in Orlando. Jordan is like an Indian parent when it comes to Arsenal. Kid gets 99% in the test, but still scolded for missing the 1%. Hey, listen, that's Turkish parents as well, and I'm sure that's how, yes. That's how it looks. Shiroi's nodding, Jordan's laughing. Yes. That can go for a few cultures out there, trust me. He says, big up you guys. Hope you're well, KD. Hope you enjoy.
Big up, KD.
Zamir says, if you're in the UK, it's 2023. If you're in the USA, it's 2023. But if you're in Tottenham and Chelsea, it's 1961.
Ouch. Wow.
still reeling. And I'm hearing that Toby's over on his channel crying because Usman said he had to switch over from Tobes crying to tune in. I am doing big six later, but let's get into it. Forever Arsenal is here. We're live. We're already 15 minutes in. Make sure you have hit the like button already. I'm going to get the super chats in as we go through. But we start at the top and we're top by 7 points now. Surprisingly, Man City and Newcastle both ended in draws at home to Everton and Leeds, respectively, 1-1 Man City and 0-0 Newcastle. And we got the job done at Brighton, another difficult away ground. Pretty much light work. Obviously, if that third goal that was disallowed wasn't disallowed, then it might not have been that much, you know, considered light work, but it was disallowed and we just got the job done in the end. But yeah, who should we start with? Shiroi, as a special guest appearance, let's start with you.
No, I'm actually curious to see what Lee and Jordan make of this result. Let's start with those two. The way they're shaking their heads. Do you really want to start with me?
No. Feel free, Judy. Go on, off you go.
I was over the moon. I thought it was going to be a game that we won, but I didn't think that we'd put four past them away from home. And some of the football that we played, these guys always had technical ability, but now you can see they're growing in confidence. Odegaard, I mean, yesterday, I was waxing lyrical about him for the whole watch along. It was some of the stuff that he was doing was Harlem Globetrotters of football sort of stuff. It was designed to embarrass his opposition at times, and it bodes well because I'm now not going into games worrying what sort of Arsenal's going to turn up. We're playing a particular brand of football, and it's that same brand of football in every match that we play. And then obviously with the results of yesterday and today going our way, not only do I think it's time to really consider us as title contenders, but I also think it's near enough impossible for us to drop out of the top four now, if I'm being honest.
Oh, straight in with the, yeah.
That was one of the topics that I wanted to bring up today because it was probably match week 12, 13 that I think we were talking about that on this podcast. You know, is top four secured amongst all this title race talk? And, you know, that is what I think a lot of people... There's some incredibly ambitious Arsenal fans that would have felt, yeah, every year we want a chance for the title, and that's absolutely fine. I think the majority felt that this year was about just cementing our place in the Champions League and seeing a real significant improvement in the team as well en route to securing Champions League football. That was certainly what I had in mind. And, you know, we've definitely got that so far. Now, is it secured? Can we sit here and confidently say we're playing Champions League football next season? I think, you know, anything can happen. And actually, there are teams that are picking up form, like Man United. I think Liverpool have got quite, you know, maybe three wins on the bounce in the league now, whatever. And, you know, they'll be climbing the table and they'll be creeping up. And now there's another contender in Newcastle. So there are more threats and there are good threats to that place in the top four. But, you know, it would take an almighty collapse. I mean, forget finishing top four. No team has had 43 points at this stage in a season and not won the Premier League. That's the stat, guys. No one has ever not won the Premier League from this position. Now, not all of them would have come up against Pep Guardiola and Manchester City and a Premier League that is, quite frankly, as full of quality as it is now. I mean, Julian Lopetegui and Unai Emery are at Wolves and Villa. So there's a lot of work still for Arsenal to do. But I do think it's a fair question. Is top four secured now? And if you ask me to bet everything I have on whether we're going to get it or not, I'd be like, absolutely, absolutely. But of course, you know, anything can happen.
Is top four secured? I mean, I think it was a week or two before the World Cup break, I said, you know what, the position we've put ourselves in, you know, it might have been just into the World Cup break, the position we've put ourselves in and the form and consistency of the other teams around, I thought top four, it wasn't a certainty, but I was very, very confident that we had done enough to show ourselves as a top four team at the bare minimum. A lot of questions about title race and title contention around those times, which I pushed to the side because it's still early days. And it is still early days now after the two results against West Ham Brighton. But in terms of top four, you couple up our form, our consistency, home and away, both at the Emirates and away from home, I think that top four is a cert now. I can't see us losing it. I really can't. I know we've had seasons in the past where we've collapsed halfway through a season and things haven't really gone the way we thought it would have gone after the first half of the season, but it's a different manager. It's a different mentality. Everything I see from the players on the pitch, everything I hear from the manager off the pitch, it really does feel like a new dawn. You've got your hand up.
Yeah, no, just ask the question. It's as simple as this. Man United playing Man City in a week's time, who do you want to win?
Man United.
So there you go. So what are you thinking?
What a great point.
What are you thinking? You're thinking title. And that's how you got to think now, like, you know what I mean? I don't know when it's changed for me, but it's changed for me over the last few weeks. I've always thought top four. Now I'm not. I've watched a lot of football over this last weekend and since we've come back as well. I watched Chelsea today. I've watched Tottenham. I watched Manchester City's like extended highlights yesterday. And there's no one better than us at this moment in time. No one. Liverpool versus Leicester was a poor game of football. I watched us yesterday destroy Brighton. And I think for the first time, do you remember? I remember going to Anfield a couple of seasons ago. We was 4-0 down at half time. And Liverpool were playing Manchester City about 3 days later. And it could have been 7 or 8 if we didn't have that. But they took their foot off the gas and they were looking at the game against Manchester City. We'd done exactly that yesterday against Brighton. Same, some substitutions, took our foot off the gas, looking at the next game. And that's where we are now, boys. Long may it continue. Whether we get to the title or not, that's a different thing. Whether we still might not get top four, but I can tell you that now. Very, very disappointed if we don't, but we're going for it. And I tell you what, yesterday proved to me, because I've seen Arsenal in the past slip up in a game like Brighton when teams have dropped points around us and not take advantage of it. Never in doubt.
Yeah. Jordan, and I know just before the World Cup break, you said it's still very early to even commit to being confident about top four. Now we are in the new year, a couple more wins under our belt, a good home win, comeback against West Ham and a solid away win against a good Brighton side. How are you feeling about, we're not talking title, how are you feeling about top four and how comfy we are in that position there?
I don't think top four is secured, but it will be. We'll be playing Champions League football next season. I'm confident of saying. I wouldn't go as far to say that I think it's banked now, but I don't think we're more than a couple of wins away from I'm just being serious. You just literally said Lee. Anything could happen.
But that's me saying it. When you say it, it all goes tick up.
Oh, double standards, is it? Oh, when I say it, I get heat. I'm not concerned about getting top four. Because I think we will, whether we've got it now or 2 or 3 more wins, we'll get it. We'll get it. So that it for me isn't really a worry about mine. On talking about the title now, I think the discussion has to be now, what are the things that could stop us winning the league? So let's go through the things that come May, we look at and think, that went wrong. Okay, a long list of injuries that happen to key players. That could happen. City go on one of their insane 16 game winning runs and we drop points with some draws and a couple of defeats. That could happen. A massive loss in confidence, a crisis of confidence amongst the team internally. Okay, I can't see it, but that's a reason that could happen. Beyond that, I can't think of any other reason as to why Arsenal won't be Premier League champions in May. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that Arsenal are going to win the Premier League. I'm just saying that we're at the point now where we're not looking for reasons why we could be champions. We're looking for reasons now, why couldn't we? What are the things that could stop us winning this Premier League title? And those are the only three things. Crazy injuries, City win pretty much every single game, or the team just have a real freakish collapse in confidence and we just literally can't kick a ball anymore and we lose our way. this is not me saying this next point to be contrary. I know a lot of people in the comments are going to say, oh, Jordan being negative.
Here we go.
But here we go. I actually still think that Man City...
New year,
same old Jordan. I actually still think that Man City are still the favourites for the Premier League. I do. I think they're still the favourites to win this Premier League title. We were talking on the last podcast, I think it was James talking about becoming the title possibly. And when I watched the game against Brighton, and a graphic came up on the screen about games played. There are 38 games to play in this Premier League. We are not even into the 20s yet. We're not even into the high teens. There's so many games still to play. I just think, I hear a lot of Arsenal fans getting excited, and rightfully so. We have been done down so bad for two decades. So when we win games, when the times are good, enjoy your football team, enjoy the wins. I have no issue with Arsenal fans being excited. But me personally, maybe it's a miserable gene in me, but I'm just very much staying calm because there's still, I've been on this rodeo before. There's plenty of games still to play. There's a lot of games still to go. And the reason why I would still put, if I was a neutral, City as the favourites is because do not underestimate the power of having done it before. Manchester City have chased down bigger leads than this against better teams than Arsenal. The Liverpool team they chased down 4 or 5 years ago was a better team than this Arsenal team. And they caught them with a bigger lead. So City are going for a bit of a weird period.
Are Man City a better team than that? That's the fair question.
That's a fair question. That is a fair question. That's a very good question.
I agree with you. Man City are favourites and Man City can still catch us, but Man City are not the team that they were.
That is very, very true.
So here's two things that I learned really yesterday that I hadn't really kind of seen yet in this season in particular. Now, I know Man City dropped points at home to Brentford, but dropping points then at home again to Everton... We're seeing City actually, they're losing ground, but not in the games you'd expect them to. Now, actually, when they won the title in 18-19, I remember they lost some weird games like Palace at home and games you didn't expect them to lose. But they've got a really horrible January to come. They've got to play us twice, although that could be a bad thing for, you know, we'll explore that near the time. But they're not losing. They haven't just gone to Old Trafford and the Bridge and lost. Actually, they've still got those trips to come and they're 7 points behind. So that is one aspect of the title race I didn't expect, that City would be giving us all these kind of cheap points and cheap leads because they've just not been at it. They've dropped really silly points. But the other thing I saw yesterday, and I know that we're going to spend a lot of this podcast talking about all the brilliant things Arsenal did, and rightly so. I actually think for the first time, I saw a nerviness to Arsenal. I think of that last 15 minutes... I think if we're not, maybe I'm going overboard here. It was actually pretty poor, that last 15 minutes. Total lack of control. And then we had to drop into like a deep shape and just deal with it. We actually couldn't. I don't think Tommy Astor did great when he came on, but he's just come back. I think Arteta saw that fourth goal go in and thought, okay, fine, we can rotate the subs. But you realize how brilliant White is and the control Zinchenko gives us. And of course, Partey's crucial, but I think Partey might even be better on the press rather than necessarily when we're dropping deep in there. And then he comes in, whatever. Now, Arsenal, I think we'll just see that out, and who can blame them? 4-1 up, a lot of football to play. But and Brighton are a really good side. They won at Old Trafford, they scored 3 at Anfield, they beat Chelsea 4-1. They're very, very good. But I was a little struck by how many problems they really caused us when we were 4-1 up. Then they get the second. And then the third, listen, we were lucky. You know, that wasn't like an offside trap. That was lucky. So I think if Arteta can use that to, you know, as a lesson for the boys, you know, what was that? You know, just iron that out, you'll be fine. Then great. But that was a slight, you know, I haven't seen Arsenal look so mentally fragile as they did in that moment. And at the Bridge with a goal lead against Liverpool with a goal lead, you know, those teams caused us far less problems than Brighton when we had a three-goal lead. That was very strange to me.
That's a great point you make, James, but also that's a lesson that Arteta's got to learn as well, because I'll tell you why. Because what he sent out the message, the game was done. He, by making those substitutions, he told every player and the fans and everybody else that game's done. And it's never always done. Now, I've seen, you know, it's happened before. I actually played in a game where he's 3-0 up at half-time. We had a cup game on the Wednesday. And the manager took off three players and we ended up losing 4-3. You know what I mean? Like, it does happen. Mentally, you switch off and things like that by doing what he done. Now, listen, he's done it. We got away with it. I felt that it probably, if I'll be honest, he made those substitutions 10 minutes too early. But in saying that, you know, we've got a massive, massive game on Tuesday and we need to recover and go with it. We're at home as well. Listen, I can't stress how much this game is important to us on Tuesday, because we then actually go into double figures over all our rivals. Double figures in points. You know what I mean? That is psychologically unbelievable. And that means, you know, what you're doing is we can afford to make a mistake. And these other teams can't afford to make mistakes no more. Like, man, if Manchester City go to Chelsea, it's not an easy place to go. I think that they'll win there. But, you know, if they don't, you know, it's more points dropped. So, you know, we're putting pressure on. We're putting pressure on now, like, you know, and we've got this is a time for us now to really nail on some pressure. You know, we can actually be going to Tottenham. If we beat Newcastle, we go to Tottenham, possibly 16 points in front of them. You know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable, boys, what we're doing. So I hear what you're saying. I think that there was a little mistake there yesterday that we've done. Again, I think that he'll learn from that, like, you know what I mean? But I just think they just took their eye off the ball yesterday more than being sloppy.
Lee, I don't actually agree. I think that, you know me, I'm not one for looking ahead, too far ahead of games going forward. But I think that it was the right time to do the subs. It was 3-0, right, at that point?
Yeah, I think so.
It was 3-0. I'm sorry, if you give away a 3-goal lead with 25 minutes to go, I'm sorry, I'm not blaming Arteta.
No,
I'm not blaming Arteta. I'm not blaming Mikel Arteta.
No, I agree.
Do you know what I mean? And he's got to think at that point, it's 3-0. We've got two huge games coming up. That's the time to start forward planning. If a game isn't sealed when you're the league leaders at 3-0 with 25 minutes or 20 minutes to go, I'm sorry, I'm not blaming Arteta if that goes wrong. So I didn't think it was. It turned out, as James said, to be a nervy 15-minute period. And that can happen. We may have got a bit fortunate. Maybe we didn't. But I heard a few people saying the subs were too early. And I just feel managers sometimes can't win. They're either too late or they're too early.
No, that's, like, fair. That's fair.
I heard point. It with Southgate as well. Some, they're too early, too late. He's not proactive enough. We won the game, and I think overall he did a very good job in managing the team. If they'd have come back, like I said, and it was 3-3, that's not bad subs. You're not bringing on kids either. You're bringing on Tomiyasu. You're bringing on good players. Sorry, Shura, go on.
No, don't apologise. For me, it was actually one substitution that changed the course of the game, and that was when Zinchenko came off. I mean, everything before that, he gave us so much control when we had the ball. I think we were retaining possession wonderfully. We were advancing into the final third with real pace and transition. As soon as he comes off, we immediately start seeing a lot less of the ball. We have a lot less going forward down that flank, sadly. And then everything else is coming down the other end. And Tomiyasu is in trouble. And on the watch along, I looked over at Turkish and I said, that all started when Zini came off. This is no indictment of Tierney, but sometimes you play opposition where your best form of defence is quite literally just retaining possession if you're 3-0 up, right? And that's what we didn't do very well. That's what we didn't do very well after Zinchenko came on.
Do you know what? Massive decision that, you know, by the way. Because I thought Tierney was brilliant against West Ham. Done really, really well. But
I thought he was poor. That's interesting.
When Zinchenko
brilliant, but he defended. I felt that, you know, he was being let down by his central defenders on them.
One thing about Tierney is he's letting an awful lot of crosses in the last two games. And that's one thing that prior to the World Cup break and when talking about Tierney, I'd always say he doesn't give a winger a sniff in terms of the attacking third for the opposition. But last couple of games, a few crosses have been coming in where he hasn't closed down quick enough or given a bit too much space. But I wasn't, you know, I was all right with him against West Ham. And I think Shiro is right. I think that substitution, it changes the shape of the team. And maybe changing the shape of the team at that time, maybe it was a bit early. But like Jordan said, you can't really win as a manager. Either you do it and then people mention it in hindsight, or you don't do it, and people ask why you didn't do it when the result comes or goes against us. So
the worrying thing for me is Saliba's form since he's come back has been not too good since the World Cup. And Tommy Asu looked a little bit like off the pace as well. Like, you know, these guys, you know, like hasn't like. What worries me about Saliba is I don't know if it's a little bit of loss of confidence or whatever, because, you know, he got into the World Cup fantastic. I think going into the French team and not being played and not getting no minutes and all that might have knocked him a little bit. He's come back. He's not been quite the same. I think you get back into it. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I was a little bit worried about Tommy Asu when he came on, because when Tommy comes on, I think like, wow, you know what I mean? He's a great defender. He was before the World Cup, by the way, he was playing in the left back position, wasn't he? Like, you know, I mean, he's playing regular. Very, very off the pace, you know. So hopefully, like, I think maybe that's why he wanted to get him on there, because he probably knows he's a little bit rusty. You know, we're going to need these players, you know. So Oxford's going to be an important game for us now, because we can get some minutes for some of these players and get rid of that little bit of rustiness.
Yeah. Can I just go back to a point that, sorry, Turkish, that James and Lee both made? Lee made a point about the lead we've got, and I agree with him. What we have to do is protect the buffer. We have got a nice buffer at the moment. And for me, we have to keep that 7-point buffer for as long as possible. We have to really look at, I know it's a cliche, one game at a time, but what we did on the weekend should not be overlooked. Two of our rivals drop points, and we beat a team away from home against a team that we don't have a great record against. So we need to protect that buffer, because we're going to need it. Because City will come. City will come. So protect the buffer is key. And James mentioned about fixtures. And there's been a lot of talk about Arsenal's tough January. And don't get me wrong, it is a tough January. But I looked at other clubs' Januaries as well. They've got tough games too. They've got some tough games too. City have got Chelsea twice. Well, Chelsea are rubbish at the moment, but they've got once the cup, once the league. I looked at Newcastle's games. Newcastle's fixtures, they're playing none of the kind of top six, top seven teams, but they've got West Ham in there. They need a win. They've got Crystal Palace in there. They're mid-table, but their form has been a bit up and down. There's a couple of teams in the bottom half. So they haven't got necessarily easy games either. So this idea that it's only Arsenal that have got tough games, there's a few teams that have got tough games coming up as well. So I think we should focus on our matches, but also be aware that other teams have tough games too. And the final point I want to make is about our starts. One of the things I've been impressed with Arsenal this year is not only our shape, I love our shape. When we're playing, everyone is in shape and it's hard to break us down, but our starts. We have started every single game this season like a team possessed, which I think is ironic, because them lot down the road, they can't get going until an hour in. But we are starting every single game on fire. That first goal, I think I put it in the group. I typed one of my groups, what's happened to Brighton? Because Brighton froze. I don't know if Brighton just wasn't ready for the intensity of that first minute or I don't know what happened, but it was very unlike Brighton. But the fact that we took advantage of it, I loved it. It was a great finish. Bit of luck in terms of, I think it ricocheted twice before it got to Saka, but the control and the finish was quality. But I'm loving our starts. And people are talking about, oh, Arsenal got Newcastle coming up. Ooh, you got Tottenham coming up. Ooh, trust me, there'll be Tottenham podcasts right now and Newcastle podcasts right now that are saying, we got Arsenal. I don't know. They will be shook. They are fearing us. So yes, those are two tough games, but let's not go into those games like some punks, because we are on form. We are playing well. I think as long as we can keep on doing what we're doing, I don't see any reason why Newcastle or Spurs, why we can't get 4 points from those two games.
We're the only team yet to concede a goal in the first 15 minutes of a game. The only team in the league. So as well as starting well on the front foot and the attacking third, defensively, we've been, you know, head screwed on from the get-go. And I think that speaks volumes for the defence as well. So, you know, Saliba, I think Lee's right. I think a lack of game time over the last 6-7 weeks. I put it down to sharpness because, listen, he's played 2 90-minute games and I think he was poor for 30 seconds of those combined. And one of those was the West Ham penalty and the other was the goal conceded against Brighton. Obviously, punished for it, but not necessarily punished come the end of the game. We still got the points and that gives him the room to breathe. I think that gives us the platform not to dwell on the mistakes too much and like Gabriel, hope that he puts them behind him and you know, moves forward and forgets about them and improves on them. because it wasn't so long ago, it was the shoe was on the other foot, and we was all talking about Gabriel's mistakes, and now, you know, Gabriel's been solid, and I hope the same for Saliba. Probably just unfortunate he hasn't had much game time. Listen, Newcastle is around the corner, but we haven't even touched in on the attack yet for Arsenal. I know Odegaard got a hell of a lot of mention after the West Ham game, and probably deservedly so after this game too. But Martinelli with a goal and assist in the second half. His shot was actually the shot that resulted in Saka's goal in the opening couple minutes. Saka again, you know, quality finish, popping up just when you need him to. And Eddie, 2-2 for Eddie as well. A lot of doubt, a lot of pressure on his shoulders, but he's taking it in his stride. So I'm just going to go back to Shorey. And yeah, talk to us, Shorey. It's obviously the standout for you, the man of the match was Odegaard. But yeah, give us your analysis on the attack and all four of them getting a goal.
I don't want to regurgitate too much of what I said on my fan cam, but when you lose your star man, Gabriel Jesus, all you can ask for is for the rest of the team to ensure that they sort of do more than just fill his boots, right? And that's exactly what's happening. You've got Saka getting 2-2. You've got Martinelli getting 2-2. You've got Eddie Nketiah getting 2-2. And all of them are scoring relatively different types of goals. Our front four, on Match of the Day, they actually call it front six. It's frightening. It is really, really frightening. Jordan's bang on when he says that we can sit here and talk about what we think about Newcastle and Tottenham, but surely their fans are absolutely bricking it about us being top of the league and coming to them in that sort of form. The attack is seamless. And what I like, there was a bit of criticism in Arteta's early reign about the team being perhaps too rigid and too regimented, and everyone had to be in certain positions or whatever. But that's sort of playing into our hands now, because we know where everyone knows where their teammates are. Odegaard doesn't have to look up to know that Martinelli and Saka are going to be darting and making those runs. So Odegaard can play that wonderful ball for the Martinelli goal. You know, everyone knows where their teammates are, what sorts of runs are going to be made. They are so well drilled, it's almost become second nature now. This really is a well-oiled machine. And that was a particular phase of Arteta's management. But what we're seeing now is the well-oiled machine, but with a bit of flair and confidence. And that's where a lot of my belief comes from, because you're now getting, you know, Eddie Nketiah, the goal that he scored, not this game, but the West Ham one, things like that turn and that instinctive finish. You're getting Odegaard dragging the ball back and putting it through people's legs, you know, two weeks in a row. That comes when you have real belief in the fact that you can win. It's a frightening, frightening attack, and I feel so privileged to be able to watch it week in, week out.
Jordan Lee, because obviously I spoke to Shorey and James in the studio. Who was your man of the match after the game? Odegaard or?
Yeah, Odegaard. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, obviously I gave it to Martinelli, because I understand giving it to Odegaard. I gave it to him after West Ham, and he probably did deserve it after the Brighton game too. But I think Martinelli as well, very frustrated in the first half. I think Lamptey got the better of him on multiple occasions. But to start the second half, instead of going inside, he went outside, got the shot off, and then Eddie tapped it in. And then the run for the Odegaard pass and the goal and, you know, the finish and so on. So, yeah, Jordan, let's touch in on you first.
I think Odegaard probably was the rightful man of the match. I mean, I'm seeing some comparisons with Mesut Ozil, which I just think is so rude. I think it's so rude. Mesut Ozil was one of the most disappointing transfers for me in terms of his time at Arsenal we've ever had. He gave us 2.5 combined great seasons out of 7. Mm. And what Odegaard is going to do, I think by the end of this season, will at least match, if not surpass, Mesut Ozil. I think we're talking about a player that is, forget talking about Mesut Ozil, De Bruyne. I think I asked in the last podcast, is there a better player in that position in the league than Odegaard bar De Bruyne? I think he's moving into that territory now. So I think Odegaard's pass, and he's just brilliant. I just love him. But the guy that I want to really just flag, who doesn't get talked about, I think, enough, and it's two games, I think he's been phenomenal this week for Arsenal. And I still feel he's not our best player, but he's our most important player, was Thomas Partey. Partey does so much good work. So much good work. That first goal is because of Partey. I've got a business. And in my business this year, I'm having a meeting with my team about some certain objectives. But one of the key things I want to get through to my teams are, do your job. Everyone just do your job. Lee's got a business. I'm sure you're very good with your stuff. Just everyone just do your job and the business will be fine. Thomas Partey does his job. And that goal was him doing his job. Win the ball, give it away. Or give it to a teammate. Just do your job. That's all we need from you. If we lose Thomas Partey, I'm telling you, you will see the impact on our season. It will fall off a cliff. Yeah. He will be a bigger loss than Jesus, Saliba, or Saka. I promise you. I'm really enjoying, maybe I'm a boring old fart. I just love the positional discipline that Partey offers, the athleticism. He's actually got a good passing locker as well. We've seen he's got a shot when he's ready for that as well. But fundamentally, he's the person doing the donkey work in the middle of the park that allows Odegaard to join the front three, that allows Saka and Martinelli to start really high up the pitch and press as they press. I'm telling you, Thomas Partey, we're seeing the player now that I thought we'd signed, 2.5, 3 years ago. I'm really enjoying Partey's performance. And finally, Nketiah. Again, Odegaard was better than Nketiah, but let's give the guy some love. That goal was a really good goal in the sense that I'm not sure Jesus scores that goal. I'm not convinced that that's the sort of goal that Jesus scores. So for him to kind of do what he's doing outside the box and his hold-up play, I think is quite good. His runs in behind are good. But ultimately, he's a poacher. It's a poacher's goal. The keeper's fumbled it. He's tapped it in. Great start to the second half. Let's go. So I want to give Eddie Nketiah his flowers as well, because these are the games that I challenged him to score in. I could forgive him for not scoring against City, Liverpool, the top defences. These are the teams I need you to get the goals in. And to be fair, it's 2 out of 2. So big up Nketiah.
But also the general way Arsenal are approaching games, we talked about the fast starts, the combinations, that hasn't changed with Eddie coming in. Everyone's talking about everything that Jesus offers, bar the goals, and rightly so. And actually, Arsenal still look as dangerous as they did pre-World Cup. I mean, you know what's funny? I've never really seen stats like it. So I think Brighton had 68% possession, I think, across the 90. But we had more territory. And I don't even know how territory is fully measured, but I think it's basically how deep your passes are in the other half and shots and what you do in your action areas. I think in that first half, they had something like four touches in our penalty area, had five in theirs. They had all the ball. What Arsenal were doing was being incredibly efficient when they did have the ball. We didn't have as much of it when we did. I just felt watching Arsenal, we looked like we would score with every attack. Every time we went forward, I thought, yeah, but I mean, we might score here, genuinely. It's been a long time since I felt that way about Arsenal. And I think that's what Arsenal developed. I remember watching Liverpool and City, but it was more Liverpool made me feel this way, when they would go on equally amazing runs just to keep up with City and ultimately not win the title sometimes. That's how good they were, City. And, you know, they play away at Southampton or away at Palace or whatever. And I'd be watching the game thinking, oh, Liverpool don't look at their best here. But then, bam, pass, goal, Mane, you know, something like that. Like, they just had that quality. They could just do something out of nothing. And that Odegaard pass to Martinelli was Arsenal not really controlling the game so well at that point, but quality comes through. And I love that we left one of our forward players that high up the pitch to, you know, be able to attack that space when it opened up. And Arsenal developing a little bit of a killer instinct, which is brilliant. The goals have gone up, you know, in terms of goal tallies. We're scoring lots of goals in games. We're killing teams as well when they think that they're starting to come at our goal and we're going, no, we'll go the other way and we'll counter you. And I really like that from Arsenal.
I think there is a bit of competition there as well between Martinelli, Saka and Odegaard, because for the Martinelli goal, you know, 9 times out of 10, another player just squares that to Saka. He's right in front of goal. It's wide open. But Martinelli is thinking, nah, I'm having that. Because they're all on about 6 or 7, right, in terms of goals in the season.
Yeah.
And I think all of them are quietly competing to get that top scorer title for Arsenal.
Healthy competition. That's how we're
looking. Looking back on it, he should have played it across.
I didn't want to say it, but
I did, because I like to see that. Do you remember, like, Grealish done it the other day, didn't he, for Haaland?
Listen,
he scored, so it don't matter. But, like, you know, it was 80% him scoring. It was 100% him putting it across, you know what I mean? But, listen, he done it and got away with it, and we forgive him for it, like, you know. What's great about this Arsenal team at the moment, in my eyes, is you're only as strong as your weakest link. Well, who's our weakest link? Who's our weakest player? There isn't. Everybody pulling in minimum 7 out of 10 performances, like maybe even more. Every game, everybody's playing well. You know, if I'll be really honest and be a little bit picky, yes, I thought Ramsdale wasn't at his best yesterday. And whether that was the conditions, I don't know. But no one's having poor games. The whole, every one of them, individually and collectively, they're playing very, very well. And that's what you want.
Lee, it's a good point. I think the weaker players on the day were probably Ramsdale, he who shan't be named, Saliba, and they were still sixes.
Wait, it's a new year. When are you going to change this?
We're not there yet. This is kind of my point, Turkish. If he can put in a six and that's a poor performance, that's a good sign for me. If six is like the minimum, because I thought he wasn't bad. I didn't think he was great. I thought he was good. I thought he was okay, but he wasn't his normal sevens and eights. Do you know? Which I think most weeks he's been seven. Go on.
No, sorry, because on that, right, on the Xhaka thing, isn't it really interesting? Because you mentioned Thomas Partey, Jordan, and rightly so, he's brilliant and crucial for that first goal. Was it first or second? I can't remember. Anyway.
First.
But I kind of remember the first bit of the season pre-World Cup. I think the names we talked about a lot was Jesus, Martinelli, Saliba. And now this side of the World Cup, it's more Odegaard, Saka, Gabriel. I think it's been brilliant, really, since Chelsea as well and Wolves and whatever. Mm. And they kind of, if one's level dips slightly, like it seems the other is rising to it. Saliba's not been at his best, but I think Gabriel's been brilliant. Thomas Partey has been immense. Whereas in the first part of the season, I think he was again putting in plenty of sevens. Now he's maybe above that, but Xhaka was, you know, phenomenal, I thought, in the first part of the season. And it's really interesting how I remember, Turkish, you might have made this point when Saka started the season a little slowly, apparently. You know, we were saying that. And he said, but how often is it that all three of your front three are firing? And, you know, now we've got Saka getting that brilliant goal. Eddie, I thought, was quite quiet, but got his goal. But I don't know. It's just interesting how not all 11 at once are going to put in 9-10s. But, you know, he seems to be the partner is picking up for the one who's not at his best.
Our team, like each individual player complements each other so much. Whether you look at the forward three, whether you look at the midfield three, whether you even look defensively, whether Tierney plays as Zinchenko, Ben White, Tomiyasu, Saliba, Gabriel's partnership, Ramsdale's ability to play at the back. Arteta's literally got this team into a position where they're all complementing each other. You know, they're all helping each other tick, all small cogs in the biggest in a big, big system. A well-oiled machine, someone mentioned earlier. And that's how far we've come. That's what it is now, to the point where we can lose someone with the quality of Jesus and still go on and win games. And, you know, we weren't playing the best of teams across the last two, but West Ham's a London derby. Yes, they've been poor this season, but they always, you know, manage to get up for a few London derbies a season, regardless of how good they are. And Brighton, away, is a difficult game for most teams. I'm sure Brighton will be taking points of other big six sides throughout the rest of the season. So for
they
us
already
to
have.
Yeah. But moving forward even more. So a 4-2 win, can't complain. I'm looking at the time here, 50 minutes in, and usually it is an hour pod. So I want to kind of keep it moving and get the super chats in and then move on to Newcastle a bit and have a little talk about that. I hope everyone doesn't mind. But Jason's got a couple super chats here. First one says, Happy New Year from New Jersey. I'm excited for this new year. Appreciate all of the great content, guys. Love for the love, Jason. And he adds, I really enjoyed how we played for most of the game. Even though Brighton had most of the possession, we still looked in control. Our low block was solid.
Yeah, till the last 15. But yeah, I agree. I thought largely. And actually, while Arsenal are so, like, they're praised for their pressing at the moment, a lot of West Ham fans are talking about that after that game. I actually thought in the Brighton game, we dropped into a sort of a deep block quite often, quite early in that game. So we are managing different games in different ways.
Different phases, yeah. Big up Ryan, a big supporter of the show as well. Can't stress how much I love this show, guys. Like, Forever Arsenal might have to turn into Five Ever Arsenal. Turkish, Happy New Year, guys. Wicked panel.
Right. You got to put in more than £4.50, mate, to get made that happen, mate. You got to double it at least. You got to double it at least, mate. At least. Come on.
Well, they'll be calling for him to swap with you again.
Somebody said earlier on, how have they got Shiroi's replacement and Shiroi on the same show?
Oh, Cornelia says, everybody drop points, we're top of the league and I'm buzzing. I love your swagger, especially yours, Lee. Big up to you all from the swagger. Atlanta Gooners. Children's a little question there. Hope you're good, Cornelius. Premod says, Saka, Saliba, Kane on four yellows. I can see at least one of Kane.
Yeah, but he's in the North London derby.
Oh, Saka, Saliba, Kane on four yellows. I can see at least one of our players getting yellow and missing Spurs. If it happens, which Arsenal player wouldn't you mind missing the North London derby? Well, we're going to do a show just before the North London derby. Maybe
there's Oxford, though. There's Oxford, right? So wouldn't that... I mean, I could see Saka and Saliba getting yellows in the Newcastle game. Let's put it that way.
Missing the Oxford game. Yeah, that's a good shout. But Jose did that once in the Champions League. O'Melly says, how we navigate Europa League will be massive. Thanks for the content and great way to start 2023. We tend to forget that, you know, Europa League is still coming back, I think, end of February, March, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously the FA Cup commences against Oxford.
And just quickly, sorry, I'm going to go for some more chapters. This is the reason why I've still got City as the favourites, because I want Arsenal to win these games when it matters. Obviously, every win matters. But I'm talking about March, from then, when you've got Europa League games, when you possibly are still in the FA Cup. Those games when you're still in the title, being the title race then with 10 games to go, that's when I'm going to see the real Arsenal. The moment we're playing well, we're beating the teams, we're ticking every box. But when the Europa League kicks back in, the FA Cup, that's when I think we're going to start to see how good this Arsenal team really is.
I thought January is important for some additions to get that depth
100.
In.
100.
Guys,
get them used to it all.
Yeah. Matt Whitman, Izzy, and someone else has let me, Jamal have let me know that Oxford doesn't count for the yellows as a Spencer.
Okay.
Oh, that is heartbreaking.
I thought it did, but yeah.
It 100% used to. I'm convinced that. I'm convinced they used to be domestic competition.
I think, you know, I think you can. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Name has said Oxford does.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it doesn't carry it.
What's I'm sure it happened earlier this season with League Cup. Maybe not Arsenal, but someone else. But we'll confirm that. We'll confirm that after Newcastle. Only. Rishikesh says we need to take each game as a final, just like Argentina did at the World Cup. Callum, I think some fans need to calm down. We still have a lot of games left. If we get a couple injuries, we have to use bench players, and I don't trust our bench players. Do you? Depends what you mean on calm down, Callum. Is it calm down on the title talk, because there hasn't been much of that on this podcast, or is it calm down on the top four talk, where I'd probably say even with a couple injuries, I think we've done enough and shown enough to be pretty confident that top four is in the bag come the end of the season and Champions League football will be back at the Emirates. Lee?
I think what they're saying in the FA Cup, if you get booked in the FA Cup, it don't add on. So say, for instance, like you get sent off in the FA Cup, it will go on to the Premier League. But say if you get booked in the FA Cup, it don't add on. But I'm pretty sure if you get, say, like one of our players gets booked on Tuesday, then their suspended game will be the FA Cup.
I've just looked it up and it won't be. Oxford won't be affected by the yellow cards, I don't think. Okay. That's what my quick Google search says.
I don't know how that works. It used to be like just every game, didn't it? Like, but
domestic games, used to all be. But we'll see. I mean, in fairness,
in the FA Cup, yellow cards didn't go against you; they didn't tot up. So if you get five, it wouldn't matter. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well,
we'll find out soon enough, I'm sure. Ibby says, if we beat City, then I think we'll all believe. We need to step back and look at just how good our football is. From 2021 to this, just take it in. Yeah, there's a lot to take in from 2021 to what we're seeing now, for sure, Ibby. But I hope you're enjoying. Dave Jordan in the building. Can Lee stop calling Arteta a lucky manager now? Just because the board saw the good work behind the scenes and didn't listen to the reactionary fans doesn't make him lucky.
When was the last time I called him lucky?
People have their stuff in the back pocket, I'm telling you.
I know, he is a lucky man, but a bloody good, talented one as well. He's done the business. There's no two ways about that. And I have to say, you know, if you've not convinced by him now, you know, listen, it's always about results, isn't it? I don't care what anybody says, you know what I mean? And Mikel is doing the business. End of.
Dave says you said it last week. Is this true?
No, I don't think that I did.
We might have to get Shiroy involved.
Judge, yeah, what's going on, Shiroy?
I think in Lee's defence, the only time he refers to Arteta as lucky is because of the notion that he perhaps ought to have lost his job when we had that horrible run in November and December, when we couldn't buy a win, right? And Lee's point there was always, look, most other clubs would have sacked their manager then. So he's fortunate to be given the opportunity to do what he is now doing. And I think a lot of big clubs would have made that move. But the reality is someone saw something in him because look at what he's manifesting now.
Shiroy, I've got some dead bodies in my house here. Can you come represent me? And come help me out because you're doing a great job representing Lee and Turkish.
I'm always here for you, man.
Any more highlights packages? You're going to need Shiroy, mate. Anyway, you wait over there.
There's no need for that.
KV said, James, you're right. We looked a bit nervy. However, that all happened after Holden came on. He needs to go for us to elevate even more.
I don't think that's unfair on Rob Holden.
That's not fair.
Because I think he brought Rob Holden on because we lost control. And he thought, oh, no. All right. And actually, I don't know if you guys clocked it, but Saka was playing right wing back for the last 20 minutes. Have you noticed how tucked in Tomiyasu was? And he kind of left Martinelli up, which we saw with the counter-attack. But it was Saka who was dropping really deep, probably because Matoma was just causing absolute havoc. So, I don't think it's fair to put down Rob Holding personally.
433 says, question to the panel. Is this your favourite Arsenal team since the Invincibles? Big up the show.
Yep.
Yeah,
by a mile. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, I miss Mustafi and Kolasinac, but other than that,
the only one I can really remember fondly is the Fabregas, Hele, Brzezinski era. But even then, from top to bottom,
our defense was trash in that team.
Yeah, that's
like Giroud in defense and
Senderos.
This is the best defense we've had since the Invincibles.
Dave Jordan, can I just say, he says he's got receipts. He says he's got receipts of me ranting about appointing a set piece coach, Nicholas Jover. When have I ever moaned?
I remember that. Yeah, stop it.
I do recall that as well.
All full of absolutely no chance.
About 2 weeks ago.
And moans about a set piece coach. And if I did, I must have been having a really bad day. Who turns up and listen, I'm not sure about that set piece coach we appointed.
Izzy. Izzy says, question for everyone. Does Jesus walk straight back into the 11 if Eddie outscores his current tally with less games?
Big up the panel. And Jordan.
I just clocked that.
That's so rude.
Special guest Jordan. I think if Eddie's scoring and let's say he's scoring up until Jesus returns, Eddie keeps his spot, you know. And
I think that's what Arteta would do, more importantly. I can't see Arteta dropping his number 14 on 100 grand a week, the Haaland boy, if he's actually been getting the goals, because he's very much a manager who wants to reward those sorts of performances. And what would it do to Eddie's mindset if he's outscored Gabriel Jesus and still gets put on the bench as soon as he comes back? I mean, that really does send a particular kind of message as to where Eddie's future lies at this club.
And hope does the same thing.
Couldn't he? Sorry.
Done it with the goalkeeper.
And he does it with Tierney, doesn't he? When Zinchenko's fit, Zinchenko plays. He does it. He does do that every so often.
That'd be interesting. Very good question, Ed. Very good.
I hope he doesn't do it with Mudryk, though. If we sign Mudryk, I hope he doesn't bring him in and drop Martinelli. I don't care how much you sign this guy for. That guy's got to work his way into this team. Let's have it right. That front three is a front three for the foreseeable future. So I don't like this guy comes in and walks back into the team if the guy you're replacing is playing well. That doesn't sit well with me.
But the one thing Eddie is yet to prove while these last two games have been really brilliant is whether his contribution is as, you know, impressive when we play Newcastle and when we're away at Tottenham. Because Jesus, despite the lack of goals, led the line brilliantly against Liverpool, Spurs and Chelsea. Really well. And, you know, his hold up and link up and all that. And sometimes that's not a quality thing. It's a mentality and an experience thing. Mentality's not fair. I think Eddie's mentality is spot on. But I think his experience.
Good comeback, that knocker. Well done.
I thought you were ill. What are you?
He's much better already. Bizzo says Jordan not saying Xhaka's name is like a bitter ex that can't get over it.
Damn right. Damn right.
We can't get over it.
But I'm not far off.
Damn right.
I'm not far off. He's getting there.
One day Jordan's just gonna say Xhaka's name about 34 times in an hour show, and then you're gonna be sick of it and asking.
Xhaka's just got to come around in his stockings and suspenders, and Al Jordan will be like, "Oh, hello, Granite.
Fancy seeing you here." We got Max in the building. He said, "Love AFTV." Newcastle City Spuds and Chelsea dropping points. It ain't easy. Turkish know what I'm talking about. I do. Big dogs get wins against the small teams. Matisse meltdown, funny, and expressions live stream crumbling like Spurs defense. Big up, Max. And yes, it has been a great weekend of football for Arsenal and Arsenal fans. But the action comes thick and fast. And we are over an hour, so I hope you've hit 1,000 likes, people, because this is already the longest Forever Arsenal podcast. So let's hit 1,000 likes and let's get close to 2,000, because there's 4.6K watching live. And we're going to go into Newcastle and kind of just go straight into predictions and maybe discuss more around the game on the following show. I thought Trippier was out suspended, but I don't think he is. Reason being, because I opened my fantasy football app and he's available for selection next game. So I don't know if I've got that one wrong, but Trippier will be playing against Arsenal, I believe. So yeah, no suspension for him there. And we've got Newcastle at the Emirates, a tough Newcastle side, best defensive record in the league this season. Obviously, we conceded 2 against Brighton, which kind of messed up our defensive record. But yeah, we was in and around them and not so long ago. Where should we start with this one? Shirai, as the special guest, let's start with you on the Newcastle game.
I'm glad that we got those, or I'm hoping that we got those defensive errors and frailties out of the way. And it was in a game that we scored 4. So if you are going to do it, you want to do it when you've got 4 on the board already. And for that exact reason, I think that kick up the arse is going to result in a very, very defensively solid and sure performance against Newcastle. I know they've got a great defensive record, but we've got a great front line. So I'm going 2-0.
You're going 2-0, straight in. I can't actually put up the league table because it's going to mess with... Let me just quickly see.
I can lean this side.
No, but oh, I think it'll literally just go straight through the whole... Oh, not bad.
That's perfect, yeah. Seamless.
Not bad. Lee, not bad, innit? He's ill again. He's ill again, people. That's it, we've lost Lee. As well, for the audio listeners, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all podcast platforms, I'm still in the lead, 22 points. Lee's in second, 21 points. James in third, 19 points. And Jordan, bottom, fourth, 16 points. Yet to get a correct score on Forever Arsenal. But yeah.
All right.
Was there any need for that, my mate?
Yeah, there's no need for that at all.
No need for that.
No need.
Everyone's fully aware. He's getting right cocky, isn't he?
He is, yeah. It's a different Turkish.
All right, cool. So I guess I start with a prediction since I'm top. Shiro's gone 2-0. I'm going 2-1 Arsenal.
Alan's in the comments says, Jordan, please predict a loss. He knows how this works.
There he is.
We'll get there.
A bit of frustration there. Was you going to go for 2-1?
I was going to go for 2-1, but as Joe, old Judge Judy, is seeming to be getting everything right this week, I'm going to go for 2-0 as well then. 2-0 for me.
2-0 for Lee. James?
1-0.
1-0 to the Arsenal. Classic. And Jordan, don't do it again. You've done it once last week. Don't do it again.
You'll all be happy to hear. I think Arsenal lose this game. But I'm going for a goalless draw. But I think Arsenal lose this game. I think there's one freak result in every team. Even those that win the title, there's normally one, like, where the hell did that come from? I think Arsenal lose this game. But I'm going to go for a goalless draw.
Our home form has been so good, though. At home, we've just been...
We have. That's why it'll be freakish. Mm. That's why I think it'll be like, what the hell? I think Arsenal lose this game. But I'm going to go for a goalless draw.
Goalless draw.
Put that table up again, Turkish.
Yeah, let's put it back up. There we go.
And there's
one of the
Listen, Lee, if it ends up 0-0, I want a public apology from you.
Yeah. I'll go in front of Judge Judy. Don't worry about that.
I'm dragging you into court, mate. If this is nil-nil, me and you.
Of the big three fixtures coming, Newcastle home, Spurs away, United and home, you kind of got three very different tests there. They're all difficult. Which is the one you're dreading the most? Well, maybe dreading's not the word, but, you know.
Shot them away.
I'm looking forward to that one the most, which could be taken as dreading it the most because, we need to change that narrative.
It's at home every single time. You know what I mean? Yeah. But away, you know, away at Tottenham, you know.
I mean, Newcastle have had a really impressive season and sit third. United are the most resurgent of the three teams and they're on the up. And Spurs, listen, we just always lose there. Always.
I'm not having United yet. They're playing well against mid-table to blow it. I'm not convinced about United just yet.
Rashford hype, man.
Yeah, I'm not buying it yet.
We'll see how that one goes. All predictions are in. Just to round it off, Shiroi's gone with 2-0. I've gone with 2-1 Arsenal. Lee's gone with 2-0. James has gone with 1-0. And a very pessimistic Jordan tonight has gone with a 0-0 Arsenal result against Newcastle at the Emirates. He does think it could be worse, but we know what happens when Jordan, you know, thinks one way, thinks the other.
So, someone's paid $5 to say Turkish, deport Jordan. Deport me! Get this negative man out of here. I don't want this juju around the club, especially when he dissed Morocco. Deport me! Like, disagree with me. Say I'm chatting shit, but deport me?
And Max is from Australia. So I don't even understand why he wants you out of England, quite frankly.
That's harsh.
That is harsh. Are we ending with comments of the day? Do we all have a comment that we can read? Because every week we do pick out some comments from the comment section. That's all part of the love and engagement. I've got one here. Well, I've got two, but I'm going to go first. Andrew said, Turk is trying to recycle all of Aubameyang's old excuses. I think Lee might need to take the Arteta route if this podcast is going to show some ambition. Obviously, on my lateness.
Fair enough.
Yeah, of course it is. The judge has spoken, though. And I don't mean judges.
Shall I go next?
Yeah.
I've got one from Lee Judges. What an absolute joke of a decision. Judge Shiroi, more like Judge Bloody Jury. There you go.
I saw that one. I did see that one.
That's actually Lee's account. That's what's funny about it.
What kind of loser comes on a podcast and in the comments of the week section reads his own?
Well, the only time I've ever had one. I'm knocker. I'm a loser, and you're calling me a knocker.
He just sat there going, now this is a good one. All right. And then he's whipped it out for the next show.
Yeah. That's what I've done. I thought, well, you know, listen. I've got authority to put my own one up there, knocker. And that is exactly what I've done.
Do whatever you like.
Go on, who's next?
I'll go next. I've got a couple. I've got one here that says, it's a nice one. Was feeling sleepy before opening this pod. So I think my pad out, sorry. This pod. And my lights just turned on. It's a pleasure watching and listening to you guys. great stuff. Long may it continue. And then another one. That was from... I don't know where it's from. And the other one was, I wore a T-shirt last week that had, I don't rap, don't tell jokes, don't play ball. They said I should change it to, I don't rap, I don't play ball, I don't watch the highlights. I thought that was quite funny, that one as well.
That was my other one as well. I thought, let me just save it.
Big up yourself.
That is good. I did genuinely think Shiroi's comment was the comment of the week.
By far,
you broke it down. But I will put forward... this one from Matt. Not, I mean, listen, all the comments fantastic. He just said, things I look out for. Does Lee know he's live? Did Jordan watch the game? The thing I love about it is I just like there's a really committed audience, guys, that we genuinely all really appreciate. And you guys won't see how often we're in the WhatsApp group sending stuff over to one another and, you know, have you seen this? Have you seen that? Laughing at this, discussing it all. And we really appreciate it. And like little comments like that is, you know, that goes back to a show maybe 2-3 months ago. And, you know, I like that. It kind of, it shows support in a different way. So I appreciate it.
even if it is me, the butt of the jokes, James. But yeah, it's fine. Always. I'll be a team player.
I think you missed like one friendly game. And now ever since...
One!
Did Jordan. There was one Europa, actually, I think. But again, we were through or something.
Yeah, I think he said something about Tierney didn't play well. And then 20 minutes later, I watched the highlights.
He went on a 10-minute analysis of Tierney's underwhelming performance.
I'd admit.
I didn't watch the game, though, but... In the 15 seconds I saw, that wasn't Tierney at his best.
Shiroi, thanks for coming on. Obviously, I didn't ask you for a comment of the day. I don't know if you have one, but I agree with James that your comment was definitely the comment of the day.
Amen.
Especially for me, a bus case. So
I'll take that. Yeah, you did bus case. Listen, man, it's always a pleasure being on there. I watch you guys week in, week out, man. One of my favorite shows. It's a privilege to be on.
I'm sending that change to you now as well, by the way.
The brown envelope's on its way to you now.
Thank you for the steak, brother. It was wonderful.
My guy, come on.
He's been to Sorbet.
Steak and chips, I'll tell you what. I know.
Can you
choke on it?
please stop talking about sending money or whatever, because I have Lee Judges on my case again. I can't hear from him. It's New Year's Day. I want to start the year right. Just we'll deal with it tomorrow.
Oh, the judge is talking about interest. So there might be.
Well, I'm talking about interest. I'm actually trying to get a little bit of merch up, like James Knocker, like t-shirt, like that. £20.
No one will buy it because no one will understand it.
Can we just say that New Year? Can we just make a promise that for all the listeners to just be nice to Jordan, Jarrett, Bryan on the pod in the comments this year? It's a new year. It's a new start. Let's just all be sensible about this. Our analysis, and our
That's
feedback.
A great
let's,
point.
Let's just be That's nice to Jordan. Yeah. And I'll be nice
would
to
help
you.
Though if you started predicting Arsenal win, get the fans on side. You know what
but
I mean?
But Lee, you know what? What you don't know is that I'm doing what James did last year. So I'm doing all. I'm taking the hits. But this year we're going to actually win the league. So I'm taking one for the team. So there's a bigger plan going on here that you're not aware of. It's beyond you.
You've discovered the ritual.
The well ritual.
He's discovered the ritual. Yeah.
Do you know what, though? As soon as he paid out his money for the shirt, you know what I mean? That ritual soon went out the window, didn't it?
How much does that ritual cost me?
No. Did it cost him 40 quid, that ritual? You're he said, right. I ain't having that.
40? You think it was only 40, Lee? You think it was only 40? Okay.
Yeah, 30, 30 and 40 for you because you come bottom. So the ritual went straight out the window. Yeah. Now you're a knocker, you know what I mean?
Not with what you ordered. Your platinum limited edition
Hugo Boss
shirt, lovely.
Yeah. Some unreleased Hugo Boss Arsenal Adidas gear. Another signed collab by Arsene Wenger himself.
A couple super chats have come in, and I was going to wrap it up, but I'm just going to get them in because I don't want to dismiss anything.
How much are they?
All the engagement. This guy here, are you the accountant on the Forever After? What's going on?
It's $10 minimum now. Come on, guys.
We are too strong, says Abdullah. Newcastle need an off day, Arsenal, to beat us. We'll go 10 points clear. We'll go 10 points clear, plus Saliba needs to get himself booked to miss the Oxford game. Apparently, that's not the case, so hopefully he doesn't. And Barham says, love your content, guys. How will our confidence be if we lose to United in both City games at Anfield? My guy, we'll discuss that when the time comes because it's an hour 17 minutes. Jordan,
Sorry. I know you want to wrap up. Who have Man City got next? Do we know?
Chelsea on Thursday away.
Okay. That's interesting.
That's what Abdullah was saying. 10 points clear of City if we beat Newcastle, and then we can, you know, chill out Thursday and watch them at Stamford Bridge and hope for the best.
Sorry, I know you're wrapping up, but between now and the 15th of Feb, City go to Chelsea, United, they host Spurs, they then go to Spurs, and then they come to Arsenal. That's all in the space of 5-6 weeks.
That's harder than what we've got.
Way harder. But they're City. Chelsea.
But they are City.
Still 4K in the building. Make sure you hit the like button on your way out. Big thank you to Shiroi for helping me bust case first and foremost, and secondly for coming into the first Forever Arsenal of 2023. definitely going to be seeing more of Shiroi this year. So big up Shiroi. But yeah, coming in and helping out as usual. Jordan, Lee, James, the regulars, you know what it is. We'll be back again after the Newcastle game, before the Oxford game. So off the top of my head, I'm thinking Thursday, Friday, next show. It won't be live. It'll be uploaded. If you're subscribed and you have the notification bell on, it'll pop up on your phone or iPad or laptop, whatever you use to watch content. Max says, I missed a couple of super chats. My apologies, Max, but all the ones I've saved are now gone because, yeah, I must have missed them earlier. So apologies for
that. Cecil's in the chat. My main man, Cecil.
Man like Cecil.
Man like Cecil.
Mr. International, welcome back.
Never knocked me once, him. Never knocked me once.
Yeah. That'll come soon anyway. Cool, people. Cool. Hit the like button. Show some love. Comments. Get your comments in so we can get our comments of the day on the next show. Love for the love as always. And hope you have a blessed and happy and productive 2023, people. We're out. Tune into the rest of the content coming thick and fast across this week. Watch along. Match day live starting 11 Tuesday. And I think James has got... is it tactical tomorrow or not?
Oh, so I should announce that there is no tactical tomorrow. There will be a kind of double match special after Newcastle.
Cool. Yeah. Make sure you look out for that, as well as Bias Show this week, Invincible, another Forever Arsenal. You know what it is. I'm back at 9 p.m. on my channel for Big Six. So if you're a fan of the Big Six, make sure you're there, 9 p.m. people, and we'll keep it moving. Love for the love. We're out.
Sports Social Podcast Network.